Thanks for hanging out with us, tuning in with us, having fun with us. Jackpot Jerry.
Murphy's Law. With me again, my good buddy, Chris Kuhn.
It used to be much easier when we were just talking about barbecue.
Thanks to all of our watchers, all of our subscribers.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Murphy's Law. Thanks for joining me, my good buddy, Chris. We decided to throw another podcast together to kind of boilerplate this whole thing going on with us and the health department and them giving up on their appeal. We did an hour and a half podcast before, and it's a lot of information and there's so much to it. So we decided to do another one, in attempt to make it a little bit more easy to understand. Now it's still going to be difficult because there are so many question marks, to this whole thing. We were in uncharted territory before. Now it's even more so.
Well, and you know, hopefully by the time we get done with this quick episode that we can show people a little bit in a little more simpler way how sneaky the state is being right now.
Yeah. You know,
just exactly what kind of shit they're trying to pull.
Yeah.
With this dodge and weave back and forth between your case, the case of the pig, and TMV Associates,
yeah,
which is the one we keep referencing. Because as we'll talk about in a few minutes, that going back, you know, Assistant AG Darren Fowler flat out asked for dismissal of the TMV case because it was moot.
Yeah.
Because they had no claim for standing because they were out of business.
Yep. On a couple of reasons they wanted that thing dismissed. And this is part of the problem is there's so many finite details to this thing that we wish that we could tell you all about, but you get so far in the weeds and you just get cross-eyed and, you know, we're laymans. So we're trying to distill it down for what we always say for the guy across the bar, right? Make it really simple. You can have in a 5 or 10 minute conversation. And that used to be easy when we were, you know, just staying open and it was the liquor commission or it was, you know, battling the, you know, Department of Agriculture or whatever. So it was always kind of one thing, but now there's so many other things that are coming into play with this, to speak nothing of no precedent being set for asking for a to oppose the other team dismissing their case, which is what we're doing.
And again, as you know, like the reason for this podcast, this episode was that even after we recorded the last one, you and I both talked to several people that still kind of seemed gloss-eyed, like it didn't quite grasp it. Because like you and I, we probably exchanged 15, 20 texts a week just in documents and stuff regarding TNV and different things with the court and the state. So, I mean, to us, it's easy to talk about because it's all damn day.
Right. And I think that's why, you know, the people that have been following this closely, they understand it a little bit. I'm going through it and I still don't understand the entirety of it. So this is almost for as much my benefit as it is for yours and everybody else that kind of is wondering, you know, what the hell is going on? Why did they give up after 2 years? And we're going to try and break it down a little bit. If we get in the weeds a little bit too much, you know, we may edit some parts out so we can make it real simple for you guys to understand. But we're going to switch up here and we're going to go over to our whiteboard that sits right over here in our studio.
It's going to be like magic. We'll just snap our fingers.
And hopefully, well, it'll be like one of those silly TikToks, right? Where it's like, all right, here we
magic.
Are. Magic.
Crazy.
Here we are with our fancy whiteboard. It's white and it's a board.
And if you don't like the handwriting, it's his.
This is... Well, you had to go there.
Yeah, I had to.
This is actually impressive. If you saw my wife's handwriting, she's a lefty, so that's all I'll say about
that. That's enough, yeah.
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to break this down so it's a little bit easier to understand, which is why we kind of moved over here to the whiteboard, right?
And trust me, folks, there's many more whiteboards that are completely filled that would just blow your mind in the next office.
Yeah, they just keep getting filled up, too.
Just more boards.
More nonsense. So what we want to do is try to kind of pull back and kind of take a look at everything from, you know, a 1,000-foot view, if you will, right? The whole thing is based on, you know, we always say it's not always about politics, right? It's about economics. In our situation here, we're talking about the rule of law,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the whole thing. That's why we took our court case through administrative court, right? We knew that there were certain avenues that we could take to have the constitutionality of the health law 2253 that we're always talking about.
that did more damage than the executive orders, right? Emergency orders versus executive orders. That's important to remember.
Because as we learned in the beginning of this, actually before yours got started, like everybody that faced and went against the government with the science lost.
Right.
And even after receiving advice from Dave, these other cases continued to follow science, such as TNV, which is why ultimately they lost.
Right.
Because they got off track.
And it's so emotional, too.
Yeah.
And that's not shouldn't be lost on any of us. And that's why people were so mad at the Iron Pig is because they didn't think that we were doing, you know, our fair share in the community to keep everybody safe and all of that, right? And
which ultimately, most of them, though, it was just out of jealousy because they didn't want to or didn't see the need for them to actually go out on a limb.
I'll leave that up for you to say, you know, we try to do some things to include, you know, our friends that were doing takeout and stuff like that. So, you know,
to each their own, everybody made their own choice.
Yeah, that's right.
But
that's,
now all of a sudden they look back sometimes.
And that's what we've said, right? That's in your choice to come in here. We weren't dragging anybody off the street to come have barbecue, right? So, a 1,000-foot view, we're talking about the law and the rule of law. And there are certain things that come with rule of law, you know, due process, right? I threw a little thing up here. Easy ones, open and impartial judiciary, right? Laws are meant to be open and transparent. Fair and prompt trials. The big one we always focus on is separation, right? Separation of church and state. Separation of powers, right? The legislative writes the laws. The executive branch enforces the laws.
And
the judicial interprets the laws, right? Yep.
Where's my famous sign? I shouldn't say my sign.
Dave Delaney's famous sign that we did, used from a podcast from, coming up on about a year ago, right?
It's been that long, wow.
So the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial, right? So the executive branch has all kinds of agencies. So in Michigan, all the administrative agencies happen to all come under that executive branch, right?
Yep.
So the executive orders that started in March of 2020 were all from the executive branch,
going back to the Emergency Powers Act in the 40s at some point in time.
So we have separation of powers, right, which is a very, very key component to the rule of law, right? So when we're talking about the rule of law, we're specifically zeroing in on this equal but separate.
Which this being balance. One of the most important things to look at, the three equal powers.
Right.
Equal.
Everybody, so this is where we always go back to, everybody remembers, or I hope, remembers separation of powers, that there's those three main branches of government, right? Everybody, I hope, at least remembers that.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, they might not teach anymore, but like back when we went to school, I would think everybody should at least remember that phrase, separation of powers.
Yes.
Which is a system of checks and balances.
So, ultimately, what we're saying, when we talk about a 1,000-foot view, what we're saying is, this judicial branch, right, if there's these three, well, that's not three. These three, right, when the judicial branch or when the executive, so what we're saying is with the health law is that the executive branch is using power that was delegated to the legislative branch. And it was delegated to them by the voters.
And not one of those three branches can cross into the other pie.
Right.
They each have their own piece of the pie.
Right.
And nobody is allowed to cross over.
So administrative law, which is all of these agencies, the health department, the liquor commission,
Department of
Agriculture, right? MyOSHA, the police, the schools, those are all under the executive branch and are governed by administrative law. And administrative law is huge, right? Mm-hmm. There's so much that goes on in administrative law. So what we're saying is the executive branch is taking power from the legislative branch. That's ultimately what we're saying.
Executive order.
Yes. So our argument that we made with our case that was won here in Otsego County, ruling the health law unconstitutional, was the main argument saying a non-delegation violation. This is where people kind of start going.
That's where it starts getting a little bit off track.
Give me another beer.
What's non-delegation?
Non-delegation is exactly what I was just saying, where an authority that was given to one branch is being delegated to another. In this case, the legislative branch delegated authority to the executive branch when they passed MCL 333.2253. That's what we said. That's what we argued. That was the basis of our entire thing. That's why we went through administrative court against the health department, went to circuit court, had a brilliant ruling, which is hanging on the wall.
Framed and matted brilliantly.
Ruling that 2253 was unconstitutional because the legislative branch delegated its authority to the executive branch. And the executive branch went and used that hammer down. On twice,
that,
actually.
On that really small MCL, that 2253, which is such a tiny three-paragraph section.
Yes.
And they perceived and gave themselves all the powers that they've used to shut the state down mm-hmm. and close restaurants and bars and grocery stores and lakes and boats with engines. All that stuff was just based on their interpretation of a tiny, tiny, very vague MCL.
Yeah. Yeah. Three paragraphs.
Three paragraphs. The second one regarded livestock, so I didn't count that one.
So we're talking about a non-delegation violation, right? The legislative gave the executive too much authority that should have been theirs, that was delegated to them by the voters.
And they took more.
Right? So the executive orders from 2020 that were deemed unconstitutional because there were no guardrails, even reasonable and necessary, were the words in the emergency powers of the governor.
Which that is so vague and subject to interpretation.
Which was 40-some pages long.
Just what is reasonable and necessary?
The court in October of 2020, Supreme Court, said, sorry, reasonable and necessary. The long version is the governor may enact laws and enforce laws that are reasonable and necessary to control the emergency, which was enacted because of riots.
Yeah, you know, a lot of debate.
No language about pandemics,
no pandemics, and again, which is why the Emergency Powers Act was struck, because
which
it was
is
irrelevant,
important.
Which was completely irrelevant. But, like, where they failed to mention and pay attention to is the reasonable and necessary does not trump the Constitution.
Right.
So
the Supreme Court in October of 2020 said the executive orders the governor was using are gone, right? So
yep.
We talk a lot about certified, in recertified questions. We talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Midwest Health was that lawsuit that took place. It went through the court systems here and there, but ultimately it landed before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled in October 2020.
And that was pretty quiet.
It was relatively quiet. So that said, the executive orders were no good. Can't use those anymore. So the health department turns around and immediately issues the exact same orders that were in the executive orders the day before. They basically copy and pasted using 2253.
Yeah, so you can tell me, I mean, if anybody's actually read it, we know, because it's evident, that somebody did a lot of digging to find this unused, irrelevant, three-paragraph MCL buried somewhere in the back of the books from 1978.
I think so.
And said, hey, we can use this.
Yeah.
We can make this work.
They started using it from day one. So they had the three levers that, we don't talk about this a whole lot, but the three levers that they had to use to control this epidemic or pandemic. They had the Emergency Powers of the Governor Act. They had the Emergency Management Act.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
And then they have the health law. From day one, they used all three. So the Supreme Court came in and knocked down the executive orders. They violated the emergency orders and were left
with this.
With 2253.
We're left with this.
To do this to all of us.
Yeah.
Right? So that was part of this lawsuit as well, is that she violated the EMA. So the EMA still sits out there as able to use. So two of those three levers have been ruled unconstitutional, right? That's a very important thing to remember.
And as we talked about in the last one, many people don't realize that even though it's been ruled unconstitutional, the state is still using 2253 today in nursing homes.
Yes, they are.
They're still enforcing 2253, even though its current status is unconstitutional.
So we're talking about a non-delegation violation, right?
Yep.
One branch was given more authority than it should have been. That's the easiest way to say non-delegation violation. We talk about in previous podcasts, there are a lot of non-delegation and separation of powers cases before not just our Supreme Court Michigan, but the United States Supreme Court.
Nationally. And
there's an EPA ruling that's coming, that is out. I've got it sitting on the desk somewhere. But several more are coming. And this is good. This is good that they're going to look at these at our state, at the supreme level. This is checks and balances.
Which it's happened at national level. You know, things that you might see on the news daily are talks about the student loan forgiveness.
Yes.
That is another
perfect example.
That is another clear violation of the non-delegation.
Yes.
The president overstepping his bounds when the law says he can't do it.
Yep.
Which is exactly what Whitmer did,
exactly.
And our government did, and exactly. He's still doing it.
Take the emotion out of the argument about whether you should do it or not. Did he have the authority to do it, right? That's where we're at. We're saying, did they have the authority to do these things using 2253 in the way that they did?
Well, and ultimately, the relevance of that is, without the separation of powers, you hear us use this word a lot, we end up with tyranny.
Yes.
Without the separation, we have tyranny. One person, one branch, making all the decisions.
And, you know, you hear a lot about that. This word, I've said it before, I'm surprised it wasn't the most Googled word this last year. It does have some connotations to it lately that seem to push people in one political spectrum or another.
Yeah, say what they don't truly understand the definition.
So the reason why we talk about tyranny is a lot of this, we go back to our founding fathers. And in certified questions, they talk about this James Madison and yep. delegation. We also included it in our lawsuit because, or our appeal, I should say, because it's built on certified questions in yeah. Midwest Health case.
And you know, and the reason our founding fathers put it there is because it was all written to avoid what happened to them with England's rule.
Right.
To exactly. avoid the oppression that
making
the colonists
the rules
went through.
And enforcing the rules.
Yep. And having everybody agree, this is the way it's going to be, period, from here on out.
So what is, so I have this hanging around and I'll abbreviate it. The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. That's what we're talking about. And James Madison, you know, he knows a couple of things.
Kind of a famous guy.
Right. So that's why we are always talking about tyranny, right? This is what is happening, is one of these branches is giving more power and or taking more power. In this case, they were delegating this power to the executive branch. Somebody has disagreed with the executive orders. We now disagree, and so does the judge in circuit court here in Otsego County this year, January 13th. Colin Hunter, Judge Hunter, made that ruling.
Well, and when we use the word tyranny, I mean, a lot of people, if you look on social media, will use it and apply it strictly to the governor. We're not talking about that. It's the executive branch. We're talking about Dana Nessel. We're talking about Darren Fowler. We're talking about all these people we've gone through on a local level, the health department, the stuff we went through, and the school board went through with Lisa Peacock.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about all these people. It's not just one person. It's not like a dictatorship. It's just the branch itself, the executive branch and yep. all the powers and all the agencies that lie underneath it. Everything they've done is tyranny, not one person.
Here's a hard thing for people to understand about what we've been going through. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I don't care who the governor, they could have been a Republican governor that was doing this and using in the exact same outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the exact same things and be doing the exact same. This is not about politics. It's about the rule of law and how they're trying to subvert this yeah. law into covering this wide spectrum of things.
Well, right? And in the past year or so, there's even been talk of, you know, that party trying to make the Constitution, the United States Constitution, a living, breathing document subject to change and interpretation, which is what they've done in all of this. Which, the main argument, again, is the law is black and white. What powers you have, what you can and can't do. It's not up for interpretation.
Right.
It's not to be rewritten under reasonable necessary for the pandemic.
Yep. It's worthy to talk about, worthwhile, I should say, to talk about. There is confusion with how the courts sit, right?
Yeah.
It is almost like a pyramid scheme, right? So we actually came out of administrative court, right? Again, which is all the executive branch stuff, the liquor commission.
Yep.
We happened to come out through Health and Human Services. They found us in violation of $5,000 and gave us a $5,000 fine for being open 5 days during the emergency orders that were in effect. It was a phone hearing. It was maybe 15 minutes. Boom, done, iron pig, stamp it. We appealed that. By appealing that, That then allows us to get into circuit court. And circuit court has the wherewithal to look at the constitutionality of a law. Administrative court, they do not. All of the judges in administrative court are also appointees. It's worthy of noting. So we had a direct action from the health department, cease and desist, $5,000 fine. We appealed. We go to circuit court. Judge Hunter comes in and says, unconstitutional, right? Non-delegation violation, says some brilliant things about certified questions mm-hmm. in this case, and says, look, this is part and parcel.
And made a brilliant ruling.
Brilliant.
You know, I think it's worth mentioning, too, you didn't just jump to circuit court. There was a lot of other steps that you had to go through to file your way through the legal system to get to circuit court.
Right.
Which is going back again to the separation of powers and following steps and due process
yes.
to get to that point.
Yeah.
So circuit court basically was the time you finally got to take the stage. Right. The Iron Pig finally got to take the stage.
We certainly were not given that opportunity at administrative, this
nope.
phone hearing.
Yep,
which
because
is so
the,
weird.
The state fought that. The state fought it because you yep. tried to make the same point.
Yeah.
And that's what the state's argument was, you can't do that here in this court.
Right.
That's not this court.
Yep.
And at that point they thought it was just gonna go away.
So we appealed to circuit court. Get a great ruling from Judge Hunter in the circuit court saying unconstitutional. And he uses the word sever. Severs the entirety of the law, not just that section, but the entirety of 2253. A bunch of other things happen after that, but for this conversation, it doesn't matter. It'll confuse people, right?
Yep.
So we have over here, we talk a lot about... claims. Sorry. I'm confusing myself. So we now have this other case that is being introduced. The T&V Associates. It's a Rivercrest Catering in Rochester Hills.
You know, and a good way to understand this diagram, if you picture a line right down the middle of this pyramid, this side being the Iron Pig, the other side of the line being T&V Associates.
Yeah.
Because everything's going to end up at the same place. Going down two completely different roads.
Right.
And you have the state of Michigan jumping back and forth based on whatever suits them for their desired outcome.
Yep. So we have the circuit court, and then we have court of claims. And then above that, we have the appeals court. And then above them sits the Supremes. Right? These two just happen to be in the same building. That's also worthy of note. So we have this other case. So we come in here, unconstitutional, amazing. Mm-hmm. Affirms basically the ruling from certified questions, if you will, standing on that. Brilliant ruling as well. So here comes Rivercrest Catering Company out of Rochester Hills.
Which is at T&V Associates.
Unfortunately, they went out of business, I believe, in 2021.
I believe you're correct.
And then they filed a lawsuit in the Court of Claims, which is an equal court next to each other, which means if a ruling comes out of one, it is as good as coming out of the other court, more or less.
And again, worthy of mentioning, they didn't, even though it's court of claims, they weren't seeking money. They weren't seeking any damages.
Yes.
They were merely seeking acknowledgement
yeah.
that they were put out of business because of this.
A declaratory
yep.
action, I think,
yep.
is what
that
they
was
call
the
right?
exact terminology. And yep. unfortunately, the representation, even when being led by the judge, would not follow constitutional law in 2253, even after prompted,
day.
Which he was, we're correct, right? He was actually prompted by the judge four times. Would you like to talk about
yeah.
2253 and constitutionality? And instead, he kept talking about cases and the amount of spread and the rate, which
yeah. And he argued the
loser.
Science.
Yeah.
He wanted to argue
the
science.
Science.
And he was saying, well, how can it be this type of science and not that? So it was doomed. From the beginning, unfortunately.
Well, and we mentioned this before we keep going any further. We mentioned while we were sitting down before we came over to the board that right here in this case with T&V Associates, the state of Michigan actually asked for dismissal. They wanted that case dismissed because it was a moot point because they were out of business.
Yep.
Now, conveniently, here we are, fast forward. Now they want to use the same case that they asked to be dismissed to try to put all their eggs in the basket of.
Yep.
Because even though it wasn't dismissed, they had a judge that ruled it was constitutional. So on both sides of the pyramid here, you have Judge Hunter that said unconstitutional, and the other side, you have Judge Whatchesnut that said it was constitutional.
Shapiro.
Shapiro.
Yes. So here we sit with a unconstitutional ruling in the Iron Pig case in circuit court. And then the other side, we have a constitutional. They came back and the Judge Shapiro said that it is constitutional. And the guardrails, again, going back to reasonable and necessary, didn't survive certified questions. He came back and said, well, the guardrail for the intelligible principle, as they call it in rule of law, the intelligible principle outlined in 2253 is simply the word epidemic. So his argument is saying, as long as the unelected health department director declares that there's an epidemic, he can or she can use any of those the three portions of 2253 simply because the director can determine there's an epidemic. Now, hold on. Before you say anything, I want to ask, is there currently a pandemic or an epidemic going on according to the CDC?
No.
According to our president?
Our president has said no on
So
the record.
if their argument is, or I should say Shapiro's argument in court of claims that the guardrail is an epidemic,
There
then the
isn't.
health director must be saying that there is still Hertel, Elizabeth Hertel must still be saying that there is an
Which
epidemic
I have not
active
heard.
in Michigan.
I haven't.
And if there is, okay, I'm not a biologist, I'm not an epidemiologist, I don't know
I haven't
anything
seen any
about it.
hazmat suits lately. I haven't seen any caution tape.
I'm just
What's
saying
it?
that's what their guardrail is saying the word epidemic. There is no timeline like there is in the Emergency Management Act, which says 28 days. You've got to go back before Congress and get more time. That's
So
the guardrail.
here is where the problem is, where it really starts getting muddy and where we're all so into this, is we have the pig ruling here from Judge Hunter. Unconstitutional. Equal, not above, equal to,
Yep.
in the claims court, Shapiro saying it is constitutional, and he went so far as to say that Judge Hunter overstepped his authority by ruling it unconstitutional.
After stipulating to him asking that question
Yeah,
or
so it's
answering
clear.
that
So now you
question.
have two equal judges of equal power at equal levels with conflicting opinions.
Yep.
So obviously TMB Associates appealed, which has yet to be heard. So it's now they're going to the appellate court because TMB lost, just as the state of Michigan lost here and wanted to go to the appellate court. Up until shortly before Thanksgiving, where they conveniently said, "Yeah, you know what? The pigs won. We're just going to let it go and ask for our case to be dismissed."
Neither of our appeals have been heard. In fact, we are ahead of them in that process, right? They have sent in their briefs. We are now in our briefing deadline, which is February 23rd. They then filed a document the day before Thanksgiving, 13 days after they filed 146 pages of appeal brief. 13 days later, they said, we're going to pull that.
Which is
In
when it started.
favor of an unheard appeal
That's
that
after
hasn't been
yours.
ruled on, that hasn't been published, that hasn't been
Which is
anything.
when it really started smelling
Hasn't
like.
even, the judges haven't even been assigned to that
That's when it
case.
really started smelling like Lansing.
Yes.
Because, again, would you leverage everything you have on a 50-50 bet? They want us to believe that's not the case at all. They want us to believe, kind of like we talked about in the last episode, the old reversal down here, where all the play action's going to the right, and they're going to circle back and try to
Yeah,
swing back.
the old head fake.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly what this is right now. So they're giving up their appeal because they got a favorable ruling in the same court. But there has been no ruling from the Court of
In
Appeals.
either case.
So what happened in the 13 days that they went from here's 146 pages of why we're going to appeal your ass to 13 days later, we said, actually, we think we're going to give up this case, and because T and V is on appeal and we've got the constitutional ruling over here,
Even though they asked for the case to be dismissed
even though they've
before they
asked
got
for
the
the
rule.
case to dismiss, even though there is no administrative action that happened to T and V Catering. We've been going through this whole thing since the end of 2020. These guys jump in and just simply file a lawsuit, so they're desperately scared of Hunter's ruling. There's no way out of it.
No, and they
No
know that
way.
they should not have a ground to stand on if they, when the case does get heard in the Court of Appeals, which is why they're so afraid and desperate and wanted to convince the public and all the news agencies and everyone else around that they're just going to realize that they were wrong. You know, there's no point in putting the pig through anything.
Yep.
They've lost, so it's time to just let it go and drop it. We knew damn well, as soon as we read the article, they weren't dropping it. It was an end around to the TMV case.
It's either that, or it's not out of the realm of possibilities to be playing parlor games, if you will.
No, they haven't done that.
And the way that they file these things, their timing, there was 7 days that our attorney had to basically file a response into them asking for a dismissal, a voluntary dismissal. So we filed a document basically opposing that. There's no precedent for the person being appealed saying, no, I want them to
not very often you have somebody go, no, we want to keep fighting.
We want to keep going.
Yeah. Because ultimately, no matter...
We know what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and no matter where either of these cases go, the claims or the circuit court and the Court of Appeals right now, after heard, no matter which way it goes, it's going to the Supreme Court.
Yep.
Because TNV is not going to give up. Iron Pig is not going to give up. You know damn well that's going to happen. And the state of Michigan can't afford to give up. They cannot afford to give up because the potential liability and everything that's happened to every business and every person and the mental health and the financial losses, that could deem the state liable.
But you know what else? They have to go back and get approval after 28 days. The last thing they have left after this is completely wiped off the board, just like the executive orders. All they have is the Emergency Management Act, which means she can virtually do whatever they want.
For 28 days. 28 days, that's it.
And then they've got to have public hearings in front of legislature
to see if the power continues.
You can't buy blue paint because there's an epidemic of sadness happening, and blue paint just makes it worse. I'm being ridiculous, but you know what I mean.
No, basically after 28 days makes the governor say, you know what, the legislation looked at the governor and say, you can't tie your shoes without a permission.
It's the guardrail to tyranny. When you include the electorate, or at least the elected officials, that's the whole point, is we're going back to the rule of law, so we get away from this tyranny that's been happening, not just in our state, but from the federal level as well. The growth of the administrative state is ridiculous.
Oh, it's insane right now.
It's insane.
And I don't think
they get more and more power. I mean, they tried to come in here and arrest me for keeping my restaurant open. Forget about the liquor license stuff. They threatened me at 10:30 at night to come in and arrest me because I was serving barbecue.
Well,
if that isn't tyranny of the Department of Agriculture, Chris, the Department of Agriculture, we're not talking about the state police. No. We're not talking about the liquor commission. We're talking about the Department of Agriculture.
Well, you know, I challenge people, talk about how ridiculous, you know, the executive branch is. Next time you go to the gas station, take a look at the gas pump and see what branch of government you see stamped on inspection.
Yeah.
The Department of Agriculture.
Yep.
Gas in your car.
Yeah.
So same authority over the restaurant that serves you food, as well as the gas that you put in your car.
Myosha. Yeah. Myosha. There's a case. There's a case coming, I believe in Alpena, where they're challenging Myosha. So if we're the Liquor Commission, the Health Department, and Department of Agriculture all came down on us because we all have licenses from those various agencies.
When Myosha came down on contractors and builders and, and factories and any other worksite outside of the food service.
Anybody that needs permission from the government, state or federal, to do business, that's how they get you.
Yep, falls under one of those agencies.
They'll yank that license.
Yep, one of those agencies under the executive branch.
This was an architect. This guy didn't even have necessarily a license, a builder's license, so to speak. He had complaints filed. The health department came in and said, well, you've got too many people here, or you don't have masks on, or I don't know all the details. But in their action, Myosha, when they cited him for workplace whatever, was 2253.
Yeah.
So the Liquor Commission, the Health Department, MDARD, Myosha, I mean, these are all agencies.
All under the power of the governor. The executive branch.
This is what we're talking about. This is why we're fighting so damn hard and why we're not giving up this appeal. No, we didn't win. No, we didn't win.
And not only to make sure
we did win. We did win.
Yep, got to win.
But we got to solidify this now because, like you said, they're trying to do that end around and use this slime ball case over here Sorry.
The same
River
one they
Press,
asked
sorry,
that got dismissed.
But you guys screwed the pooch.
Yep.
Unless, go give up your appeal.
Yeah.
Go give up your appeal.
And, you know, again, going back to how many pages of paper they filed to fight their appeal and even post it or push it past the midterm elections.
Yep.
To just all of a sudden give up, which is why in the last episode we're like, there's a leak, there's some bullshit going on. But even if there is,
to me, there's
it's
also,
still going up.
It's also very suspect to me. When you get into the details, the Supreme Court justices have looked at our case because they tried to do a bypass application when
yep.
they first appealed our case, the state did.
Yep.
And the Supremes have actually kind of chimed in on this. And they actually have said, we do want to hear this. And in certified questions, there is a section about 2253 in which Justice Viviano, who I think is said to be the next Chief Justice, Justice Viviano cites 2253, and in there from October 2020, he says this is going to be an issue moving forward because they're already trying to use 2253 and issued copycat ruling or orders the very next day.
Well, and Bernstein also said he wants to hear it.
Yeah, a liberal justice
yeah,
and
a liberal justice
yes.
and a conservative justice. So both parties want to hear this. And it's not only so much just to, you know, look back at what happened to all of us for the past few years, but to make sure it doesn't happen going forward.
Right.
Because we know that party has been prone. I mean, if you look at what's happened to the entire world in the past 6 months, every disaster, every emergency, they take advantage to take more away and exert more power and control
yeah.
from their branch.
Yeah.
And when I say their branch, because it's national as well as state.
I'm going to tell you, right now, given the environment that we live in, just having had midterm elections, you're going to see some real issues with election law.
Yeah.
And a lot of that. That's where people really need to start paying attention to some of this stuff. And that is a bipartisan thing. And there is bipartisan shenanigans that are going on.
Oh, definitely.
That's what's great about being independent and sitting in the middle is you get to pick on both of them. They'll go, well, what do you ding-dongs do? Well, look at what you ding-dongs
do. Well, and, you know, the simple fact is, like, I was one of my podcasts I listened to, they were talking about this the other day, that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that call them the MAGA Republicans that you know, still hang on to the claim the last election was rigged and it was lost, that they think somehow magically the court's going to put Trump back in office 2 years into term.
Yeah.
And his point was, we need to stop that.
Yep.
It's not going to happen. But what was more concerning to him is the fact that there's been no willingness from either side, Republican or Democrat, to look into it to see what actually happened to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Right.
Which is, I think, what most of us want. I mean, especially when you and I talk about it, it's let's forget about the past. Let's make sure it doesn't happen again going forward, which is why this is going to end up so important in front of the Supreme Court and why we have both conservative and liberal judges wanting to hear it to make sure it doesn't happen
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Let's look into what the problem was.
Yep.
How it got abused, and make sure it doesn't happen again.
And when you say abuse, that's important because that's the crux of the whole thing. That's what why certified questions was so important. That's why our case is so important. And not so much their case, because this was just a lawsuit that they filed in the Court of Claims. Ours came out of administrative court, from administrative action, from a fine. They closed us down.
Yeah.
They closed us down. So we have such a stronger toehold on this entire thing, which, again, leads me to believe, which is another reason why they're so afraid of it, because it reaches down into the APA, Administrative Procedures Act,
which
is getting way
up.
Of course, we don't even touch that because it's, I mean, anyway.
It's all about everything that the state has done does not trump mine or your constitutional rights. Your constitutional rights are above, first and foremost, anything. So when they start violating your constitutional rights, that's where Judge Hunter did such a great job of pointing out and articulating that you can't, you cross the line. And
yeah.
you took too much from the legislative branch to the executive thing. But people will just focus on their own little lives and don't realize what's going on up there too.
Well, that's a whole other issue that's a part of the reason why we're doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so hard to explain and people get bluey and cross-eyed. We try and boilerplate it down as much as we can. And we may have to do it even one more time after this.
Yeah. And you know, we've talked about establishing a flowchart with PowerPoint.
Mm.
Because it's just, it's to us, it's really easy to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Because we're studying it so much.
Yeah.
But you know, as
again, and it's every day with something just about it seems like
yeah.
it's hard to it's
and
hard
even
to
if
take
you,
a
even if you watch like
a
major network and watch the national news, it's the same thing going on.
Yeah,
exactly the same thing. The same arguments are being made. The same points for and against are the smoke screen from one side, yeah. and the push for the truth from the other side, and this fuzzy grayness of nobody actually doing anything about it.
It's all about power. Who has the power? Who can give the power, use the power, and that is why we always talk about
tyranny,
right? I mean, that's what the executive branch is doing, is just taking more power than it was supposed to be given by this law.
Well,
so we've got to reel it back in, and Hunter did a great job of doing that.
Well, and even though we plan to keep it shorter, I know we went longer than we did, and hopefully we didn't confuse you even more. Hopefully we cleared it up a little bit,
yep.
but again, we're happy to do more to simplify it and make people understand how important it is.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's all about the separation and making sure that the separation of those branches are there, and we're making that non-delegation argument, and we have one, and we just want that ruling upheld. We don't want that play action fake to actually work.
Because
we got our brief in the seven day deadline right before Thanksgiving. We got that in. It was 35 points of fact that it's going to be hard for any court of appeals judge to look at that and say, you know, we should just shelve this. Yeah, you're right. They got another rule
yeah.
over there.
And this isn't just about the PIT.
Forget about the Supreme Court justices that have already know that this is going on and gave them or giving them the opportunity to hear this.
Yeah, this is about your kids wearing masks and getting kicked out of school. This is about your kids having the local police called to the high school.
Yeah.
This is about everything that you've been upset and hurt and bothered by. This is about, you know, those that we lost in nursing homes that were all just packed in there.
Yep.
And about vaccines.
No accountability.
No accountability. There is none, because they were able just to make it up as they went along with nobody questioning them. And there was no ruling at the time. It's about the right to get your hair cut with Carl the Barber.
Yep.
And also to come have a drink and eat wherever you choose. But, I mean, there's so much more to it than just...
take your boat out.
Yeah, take your boat out with an engine.
To get paint.
Yeah.
To get seeds at a store.
So,
I mean, it's just... It's
all about, it's about all of this, not just the pig. Which is why...
Well, wait. What are you saying? It's not,
just
about, it's not all about me?
I was just going to say, this is a great way to lead
cool.
into...
I'm done. We're done.
Okay.
Cancel
you
it.
See, this is where I was going to lead into the NFT and how you can benefit from what's going to happen down the road.
Take
possibly.
Your plug out. I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Bow off to the weather.
Thanks for hanging in with us. Hopefully we boiled this down a little bit better this time than we did last time. We're going to keep talking about it. There will be more news that comes out about this, and we'll keep talking about it as it moves down the road. We don't know what's going to happen next. We're hoping to hear something from the Court of Appeals denying their voluntary dismissal, and then we just kind of keep plodding forward. If they decide to take the dismissal request and say Court of Appeals is done, we're going to brief the Supreme Court.
It's still going up.
And we know that they want to take that, even though a couple of seats have changed. We know that they want to hear that. So stay tuned. Thanks for sticking in with us. My brother, thank you as always for hanging in with me and helping me dissect this as always. You guys, thank you. Go to murphyslawdcast.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Spotify, Apple.
Everywhere.
I mean, we're just about anywhere you can get an audio or a video podcast. You'll be able to find Murphy's Law DCast. Thank you as always. We appreciate you.